I've been here at Word and Life for 33 years. And it's been home to me and the primary place for my own spiritual growth. And I'm really humbled listening to Ernie and to Mike. And it makes me so grateful for this community and for what is emerging from it in the depth of which you speak, both of you. So I just want to share some of the things that struck me from this whole year studying compassion and then the field of compassion, Karen Armstrong's book. Some of the things that struck me and how they made a difference for me in my personal life and in my life here at Word and Life. One of the things that struck me when I was preparing for my own talk was the definition of compassion that Thomas Merton has. He says, compassion itself, the definition of compassion itself as itself is spacious and welcoming. Spacious and welcoming. Spacious and welcoming. Welcoming the ungrateful and the wicked and all those who do not, in some minds, merit it. He goes on to say that this mercy or compassion is gratuitous. It's free. It's free. It considers no fitness, no worthiness, and here's the hard one, no return. No return. This unconditional love and compassion is faithful, sure, true, and everlasting. It's inexhaustible. It trusts in the goodness of others. It trusts in the goodness of the other and frees the other to find their own fulfillment through mistakes and hurts and failures. That's phenomenal if you really reflect on it. Another feature of this compassion, he says, is the excess in the way it is practiced. There is an excess of beneficence or goodwill toward one who has no right at all to claim this from you. And the exercise of goodwill toward one who deserves it, but in greater measure than they deserve. This is the radical abundance of God's love. This is the root or source of our identity in God. We are bound to God in compassionate love from all eternity. The second thing that struck me that some of the speakers in the fall made mention of is the fact that the root of the word for compassion in Hebrew is the same as that for womb. If it's true, and I believe it is, that the creation story in Genesis is meant to convey that the God of the Hebrews created with intention and compassion, then compassion is our inheritance, the Alpha and the Omega of our lives. We were birthed from the womb of compassion. And this is supported by Meister Eckhart, who said, the first outburst of everything that God does is compassion. All creatures, as offspring of God, hold compassion in common. Compassion is our universal heritage. It's our God origin, our God destiny. Compassion unites us. It forms the common field of wholeness that all creatures share. So we live and move and have our being in a field of divine compassion. We were born from the waters of compassion, and our hearts are restless until they rest in compassionate union and interdependence with all of creation. That really struck me, the idea of the creativity of the womb space, holding that potential and possibility for everything, and making space a spaciousness for one another. All of religions have compassion as a core principle expressed in some form of the golden rule. As Dennis Apple says, compassion is the guardian of the soul, the individual soul and the world soul. What good is it to gain the world and lose our soul? Our soul is compassion. And I liked what Greg Boyle said when he was talking about the homeboys. And he said, we should not judge them, but rather we should be in awe of the burden they carry. And I think that's true of all of us. I think that we should not judge one another, but we should be in awe of the burden that we all carry, including ourselves. We all carry a history within ourselves. And we have a history of bliss and joy, too, but this burden that we carry in our history of our limitation is something we should be in awe of, how well we do and how hard we try to transcend that. So these points and many others, but these particular ones really caused me to reflect and were very helpful to me in my personal life. We have an adult son that's been living at home for quite a few years, and our second son moved home about a year ago after a divorce, and his second. And now we have four adults living in the house. Four adults living in the house in differing stages of maturity. It's difficult. I think you all know how difficult it is when our children become adults. And this year has been a challenge for me. And this idea of womb as a mother, I feel I'm challenged to give birth in a new way, not to myself, and to them, to create the space in our home where we can dream and thrive, and we can all reach our full potential. We can be aware of the differences, and we all have differences of opinion and personalities, but what is holding us together and what is binding us? And I do believe that we're all participating in this, and this study has really been helpful to me as I continue to create this space within myself, for myself, and within our home, for our children. So anyhow, that was important. The other thing, the study of compassion, and especially the field of compassion, I think brings us full circle here at Word and Life. Judy Cannato suggests that compassion is a field, a morphogenetic field. In other words, compassion is an invisible reality that manifests itself in visible form in persons and communities, and is a feature of the evolution of the world itself, the universe itself. So this field holds the collective history and memory of those who came before. So this is what I'm saying. We have a collective history and memory individually and communally. We are participants in this field as it continues to unfold. It continues to attract and build on itself in forming, taking form in various places and peoples and communities. The attractive and resonant quality of this field is gathering in strength and beginning to connect at ever greater speed. There are many compassionate communities. We are one of many. And we recognize and support those other compassionate communities working towards peace and wholeness. Is compassion what has been striving all along to express itself within our structures here at Word and Life in ever deepening ways? Are we the visible form of this invisible reality? Isn't this what those of us in the Catholic tradition call sacrament, an outward sign of an invisible reality? Are we the sacrament of Word and Life, the sacrament of compassion? Think about that, that holiness. As I looked over our past history and saw the name changes, Word and Life Catholic Bible Study, Word and Life Bible Study, Word and Life Study Fellowship, Word and Life, Thoughtful Christians in Search of Mature Faith, and all the mission vision statements over the years, which reveal how we have struggled, really labored, with language to identify ourselves as a community that desires to be increasingly inclusive. Over and over in our mission statements, we have drawn the circle bigger. Has compassion been the impulse that is causing us to stretch ourselves, to ask hard questions about our faith, to find greater communion with one another and the earth? Is this our particular charism, and how can we nurture it? Judy Cannato suggests four ways to nurture the field of compassion. Spaciousness. There is space in myself for you. Reflecting and working on being committed to our own spaciousness, being committed to our own inner spaciousness for others. Contemplation. She says it's not a particular kind of prayer, but rather an orientation towards life itself, attending to what is before us, intention, awakened to possibilities, non-judgmental. It's about seeing through what's on the surface of life, seeing the more to the story. There's more going on here at Word and Life than meets the eye. This contemplative stance is a fruit of meditation, some form of silence where we detach from our thoughts and fall into the deep flow of life that underlies all of life. The third one is commitment, committing ourselves to growth, to change, and to inclusiveness. To growth, to change, and to inclusiveness. And the fourth one is imagination, to see a viable future for ourselves and our planet. To believe the kingdom is possible by modeling it here, allowing for difference, learning from them while compassionately holding one another so that whatever creative potential is here for us individually and collectively can be born. Like the movie, is this our field of dreams? A place where if we sustain it, people will come without knowing why they come. This is the resonant and attractive force of the field. They will be drawn to a place where everyone is welcome, no one's left behind, lost or forgotten, a place where we can dream and thrive. From the very beginning, people who came to Word and Life for the most part were active in some form of service, either in their parishes, their homes, or their community. I always felt that Word and Life was a place to come for spiritual nourishment and meaning for the work we do in the world. That's why we are Word and Life. We have so many here who are giving of themselves to the world around them. I believe this is a place where we nurture and encourage that compassionate service. Right now, our tagline that identifies us here at Word and Life is Word and Life, thoughtful Christians in search of mature faith. In light of all that I've just said, I suggest that this study of compassion has brought us to new beginnings here at Word and Life. And as I look to our future, I am wondering if we might want to change our tagline and or create a new vision statement about who we are. In continuity with and including our past, we remain Word and Life. And including but transcending the narrow limitations of our past, we could be a compassionate community for contemplative living and learning. Word and Life, a compassionate community for contemplative living and learning. That is, in fact, who we are and who we continue to become. This is certainly something for us to ponder as we look to our future and to be grateful for what has emerged over 37 years here at Word and Life.
Thank you, Alex.
Take questions.